get to the Word of God this morning. Last week, we were looking and we were seeing just how spiritually significant the Mount of Olives was. From its position east of Jerusalem, the holy city, from its position, it plays a dynamic role in all of God's plans, in all of God's plans for all the days yet to come. It plays a role in all of His past plans and His plans ahead. Jesus was anointed in Bethany. Bethany is on the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives. We saw last week that Jesus made His triumphal entry into Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives. Jesus suffered His agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Garden of Gethsemane is on the western slope of the Mount of Olives. And from that Garden of Gethsemane, that's where Jesus accepted His role as the sacrifice lamb, the perfect sacrifice lamb for all. Jesus ascended into heaven to be seated at the right hand of the Father in complete victory from the Mount of Olives. And the prophet Zechariah tells us that it is going to be at the Mount of Olives that is where Jesus will return. And as soon as His feet, on His return, when His feet touch the Mount of Olives, the Mount of Olives is going to be split in two by an earthquake, split in two and divided north and south. Now, these are just a few of the highlights. You can see how symbolically powerful the Mount of Olives is, was in God's plans, and is still in God's plans. Now, last week, the main point that we had was this. Jesus, when He made His triumphal entry into Jerusalem, He came in the opposite direction. His route was the opposite of the route that was taken by the Spirit of God when the Spirit of God departed from the temple and from Jerusalem. And from that, we saw clearly that Jesus, in doing that, Jesus reversed the spiritual direction. That was the first step. Jesus, His triumphal entry, was the first step in the Spirit of God returning back to the temple. And we saw that by that reversal, that opened up the way. It came after, with the culmination of His death, resurrection, and ascension, that opened up the way for the Holy Spirit Himself to now dwell in these temples, the temples of these redeemed and born again bodies. Final thing in this introduction. It's from the Mount of Olives. And this is kind of cool because if you go back maybe, I don't know, 6 weeks ago, I was talking about wonder and how, you know, God rewards that sense of wonder. And one of the things I was showing you is that Jesus actually taught His disciples to have that sense of wonder and to ask questions. And one of the examples is on the Mount of Olives, because it's on the Mount of Olives that the disciples in Matthew 24, they ask Jesus about the age, the end of the age, and about the sign of His coming. So the Mount of Olives for us, the Mount of Olives, when we think about it, it should make us think about this present church age that we live in, the lateness of the hour, and exactly what our role is at this very moment in His plans. Now, it's easy for us, and we perhaps get the best picture from Ezekiel. It's through the prophecies of Ezekiel that we can get a really clear picture of what God's plans are and how faithful God is to His plans. So for our purposes and what I want to talk about this morning, we're going to start in Ezekiel chapter 6. And if you remember, Ezekiel is the book that we were looking at last week when we saw in Ezekiel 9, 10, and 11, we saw how the Spirit of God departed from the temple and went to the Mount of Olives and departed from there, which Jesus then turned the other way. But we're going to start in chapter 6. Ezekiel chapter 6, verse number 2. This is God speaking to the prophet and telling the prophet to speak against the mountains of Israel. Son of man, set your face toward the mountains of Israel and prophesy against them. Now Ezekiel did just that. He prophesied against those mountains. And as we saw last week, it's just a few chapters after this that we see the Spirit of God departing from the temple on Mount Moriah. And we saw that slow, almost reluctant departure of the Spirit as the Spirit parted from Jerusalem. And then finally, the Spirit departed from Israel itself as it departed from the Mount of Olives. That's Ezekiel chapter 6. We're going to move way forward ahead. In Ezekiel chapter 36, and you can turn there, we're going to look at a number of verses there. In Ezekiel chapter 36, God is speaking through the prophet Ezekiel, and He's prophesying about what Jesus will do. And if you would read through all that, we're just going to read some of that. If you would read through all that, you would see that once again, this is a prophecy that is spoken to the mountains. So the very same mountains in Israel, the very same mountains that had previously been prophesied against are now receiving spoken words of blessing. Let's look at verse number 4. Ezekiel 36, verse 4. Therefore, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God to the mountain, the hills, the rivers, the valleys, the desolate wastes, and the cities that have been forsaken, which become plunder and mockery to the rest of the nations all around. So you can see there, that is talking about the results. Way back in verse number 6, Ezekiel spoke prophetically against the mountains. And you can see the results of it. Now, let's drop down 21 verses and look at verses 25, 26, and 27. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all of your filthiness and from all of your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and you will do them. Ezekiel is clearly speaking about what Jesus will accomplish with his victory. And because Jesus did then turn around, because Jesus did reverse the spiritual direction, just as Ezekiel spoke, because he did that, now the way is prepared for the church age to come. And with the church age, after the resurrection and ascension of Jesus, with that, now the Spirit of God dwells within us, dwells within those of us who believe, who've received, and who believe. I want to pause for just a second because I'm going to read another section of Ezekiel. But I want us to understand this concept about prophetic words and prophecies. Many prophecies that you read, in fact, I would say almost universally, I can't say it for sure, but almost universally, many prophecies that you read, they speak to multiple time periods. So the same prophetic word is not just speaking about one time frame. You really see this clearly when you read through the minor prophets. You can see that the prophetic word was speaking to the people at the time. Look at the minor prophets. When they speak, they were speaking to the people who were hearing at that moment. But you can also see that through those prophecies, they were speaking to today. And you can take some of those promises, you can see them for today. But you can also see those prophecies were for another time, a time that is yet in the future. So as we read through these next couple verses I'm going to show you, remember, prophecies that are given cover multiple time periods. So they can speak to the future, and even though they're speaking to the future, they can still be speaking truth to us today. Remember that as I read through Ezekiel, I'm going to read 12 verses in Ezekiel chapter 47. Remember that, because as you're reading this, it's clear that the prophet is speaking about the millennial temple, which has yet to come. But as you read through this, you can also hear the words that are spoken and how they relate to you and I today in this church age as the hour is late and the job and the role that we have before Jesus Christ. So, this is Ezekiel. I'm going to read to you verses, chapter 47. I'm going to read to you verses 1 through 12. Now, it sounds like a lot of verses, but these are exciting verses. If you guys are familiar with these verses, this is an awesome, awesome picture that we see. So Ezekiel chapter 47, starting in verse number 1. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple. This is a vision that Ezekiel has. Jesus is giving him a vision of this. He brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, from the front of the temple, toward the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate, and he led me around to the outside, to the outer gateway that faces east. And there was water running out on the right side. And when the man went out to the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The water came up to my ankles. So this is the vision that Ezekiel has. He's at the temple of God, and he sees this water flowing out from under the threshold. I don't even have time. The threshold itself is really significant. We don't have time to look at that. But the water's pouring out from under the threshold. It's pouring out towards the east. And you can see as this man in the vision is measuring. Every time he measures, the water gets a little bit deeper. And still in verse number 3, and 1,000 cubits, and he brought up the waters. The waters came up to my ankles. Verse 4. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the water came up to my knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and he brought me through the water, and the waters came up to my waist. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep. Water in which one must swim, a river that cannot be crossed. So this water is coming out of the temple of God and is flowing and surging with power and is gaining in power and in depth. Verse 6, he said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? Yeah, I think so. He's swimming in it. Then he brought me and he returned me to the bank of the river. When I returned there, along the bank of the river, were very many trees on one side and the other. This is, again, a picture going towards Revelation, but I want you to see how it applies to today also. Then he said to me, the waters flow towards the eastern region, goes down into the valley, and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters were healed. Remember that. And it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. Rivers. Did you catch that plural? You're going to see in a few minutes, this is talking about the rivers of living waters that come through us. Rivers. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters were there. Fish. Fish indicates that haul that we're supposed to bring in. It is, we are the fishers of men. They will be healed and everything will live wherever the river goes. It shall be that the fishermen will stand by it from En-Gedi to En-Eglim, and there'll be places for spreading of the nets. The fish will be of the same kinds as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. This is talking about the Dead Sea where there are no fish. But its swamps, its marshes will be healed. They'll be given over to salt. Along the bank of the river, on that side, there will also grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither. Their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because their water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be food, leaves for medicine. So that's an awful lot, but you can see just how powerful that picture is, and picture that in your mind, because that's exactly the vision that God gave to Ezekiel. So Ezekiel is seeing exactly what is taking place. So before I get into the depth of that, let's do a quick review. So the Spirit of God departed. Last week we saw that the Spirit of God departed from the temple of God, departed in one direction. It went from west to east and culminated on the Mount of Olives where the Spirit departed from. And then we saw that Jesus came in his triumphal entry from the opposite direction. He started at the Mount of Olives and he went from east to west, reversing the spiritual direction. You see, because Jesus reversed the spiritual direction, now we see something new that's going on. Because Jesus reversed the spiritual direction, now this is the church age. We are the power, the strength of Jesus Christ. This is now the church age, which came about after the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus. So what we're seeing in Ezekiel chapter 47, what we're seeing is yet another. Did you notice? Remember, the Spirit departed this direction. Jesus came this direction. And now we see here in Ezekiel 47, it's coming back this way. We see a change of direction. We see a change of direction because Jesus has reversed the spiritual direction. And so now there is a new direction for you and I. That new direction is we are not powerless. That new direction is we have and we operate in the power and the authority of Jesus Christ to do his will, to accomplish his purposes, and to glorify his name. The Spirit left one way. Jesus was that first step in returning the Spirit back to the temple. The Spirit is now in this temple. And now, that's a new direction as we are moving out in his power and in his authority. Amen? Make sense? It gets even better than that. It's really, really good. Let's look at that first verse again. So, Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 1. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple towards the east, and for the front of the temple faced east, the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple south of the altar. So in this vision, Ezekiel is standing at the temple. Jesus is giving him a vision. He is actually in this vision, literally standing there at that temple. He is seeing the moment that this is taking place. So Ezekiel's at that temple, and he sees the water that is flowing from the temple. And what does it say? It says the water is flowing out to the east. It's very specific. The water is flowing out from the temple to the east. The east is the exact same direction that we saw the Spirit of God departing from the temple. But now, in this vision, because Jesus has reversed the spiritual direction, now, in this vision, this is the Holy Spirit that is flowing, but it's flowing from the temples of you and I. This whole vision is the temples of you and I, and it is now the flowing waters of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit moving through us. Remember that Jesus in John chapter 4 said to the woman at the well, I am the living waters. And then three chapters later, Jesus said in John chapter 7, when he was speaking about the Holy Spirit, he said, whoever believes in me, from him will flow rivers of living water from their hearts. We are the temples of the Holy Spirit. His living waters flow, his river of living waters, just what we saw in Ezekiel 47. His river of living waters flows from us. We see this prophetically in Ezekiel's vision. It is a vision of you and I. What we just read, it is a vision of you and I today and our role in this church age. It is a role where you and I have power and authority in Jesus Christ. Now look at verse number 2 again. In verse number 2, it said, he brought me out by the way of the north gate, and he led me around the outside to the outer gateway, which faces east, that faces east, and there was water running out of the right side. Notice that the water that was flowing from the temple of God in both this verse and in verse 1, notice that the water was flowing out not just east, it's also flowing out at the right side. That's important because this is, again, giving us a picture. It is a spiritual picture of you and I today. This is an image of you and I operating in the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus, it's coming out the right side. Jesus ascended to heaven from the Mount of Olives, and Jesus is right now seated at the right hand of the Father in total victory. And Paul tells us that we are seated with Jesus right there with him in every one of his victories. I want you to see this from the way it says it in the Amplified Bible. This is Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 6. And he, Jesus, raised us up together with him and made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with him. Where is he seated? He's seated at the right side, the right hand of the Father. We have joint seating with him in the heavenly sphere. Did I say that right? In the heavenly sphere, that word always gets me, by virtue of one being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. This is the picture. The fact that it says it's going east is significant. The fact that it is going out the right side, this is all to give us a picture of who you are today in Jesus Christ. This is a picture of what we are and who we are and who he expects us to be. Now, I want you to notice the man that we talked about. We could talk about just those 12 verses. We could talk about that for weeks and weeks. I'm just hitting the highlights for you. But notice the man that was in that vision. So Ezekiel is placed in that vision at the temple. And we see that man that is measuring out, measuring out, measuring out. That man is Jesus. The more that Jesus measures out, the greater the distance that he measures out, notice the farther out he measures, the deeper the water gets. And these are the rivers of living water that are flowing through you. The more that Jesus measures out, the deeper the water gets. It begins at the prophet's ankles, and then it's up to his knees. The further that Jesus measures out, it comes up to his waist, and then it becomes so deep, finally, that the prophet has to swim. This is Jesus measuring. Jesus is measuring. Great. What does that mean? Well, this is so awesome when you see what the word measure means in this context. There's two main components of what this word means. So, Jesus is measuring. What does that mean for us? The word measure, the first part of that definition is, listen to this carefully, God's deliverance to his people as he measures them out for victory. So the first part is God's deliverance to his people as he measures them out for victory. So God's deliverance comes as, along with, and this is ongoing, as means ongoing, his deliverance comes as he measures us out in victory, you and I. How does he measure us out? That's kind of important. Well, that's the beauty of the definition. Here's the second part of the definition. So we know the first part, when we see Jesus is measuring out, this is a picture of God's deliverance for his people as he measures out. He measures his people out for victory. How does he measure us out? The second part of that definition is to be extended. Here's a quote. This is the direct quote from Strong's. To be extended and to stretch self. As we extend ourselves, and as we stretch ourselves out in the authority of Jesus Christ, as we do that, the living waters that flow through us get deeper. Stretch yourself. You're not just a stagnant pool of water. His living waters surge through you with power to his ends and to his glory. Stretch yourself out in Jesus. And think about this. If you're in water that is so deep that you have to swim in the water, you're no longer touching the bottom. In other words, you're not standing on your own two feet. You're not trusting in yourself. You're not standing on yourself. As we are immersed in Jesus Christ, Jesus measures his victories through us to the deliverance of the people that are around us. That's a wonderful, powerful picture and illustration of how we should be living our lives every single day. And did you notice this? Did you notice that when the waters flowed from the temple, they flowed east past the gates, but they did not continue on to the Mount of Olives? Did you notice that? We've been talking about the Mount of Olives, and we've been seeing that the direction is to and from the Mount of Olives. But here, it didn't. And if you go back, last Sunday, we were talking about the Spirit of God departing. When you read through that, Ezekiel's very specific. And Ezekiel gives it step by step. And Ezekiel says that at one point, if you remember last week, it said that slow departure of the Spirit of God, when it went out past the eastern gates, it says the Spirit of God paused as part of that reluctancy of departing. Well, here we see that the Spirit, when it's talking about the flow of the water, so the water flows out, but when it gets just past the eastern gates, it doesn't continue on to the Mount of Olives. Instead, what we read happening is it gets to the eastern gates, and then it goes south. It goes south into the valley. It goes south into the Kidron Valley. Now remember, the living waters that are talked about here, these are the living waters of the Holy Spirit that are in you and I. And it's talking about the flow of the living waters that go through us. Well, it's significant to me that when those waters are flowing from the temple, it gets to the eastern gate, and then it turns and goes south along the Kidron Valley. Because remember, the Kidron Valley represents all of the spiritual rubbish and idolatry of our lives. His living waters run through you to an idolatrous world, becoming an unstoppable surge of water that washes over other people out there, and it breaks the chains of sin that have kept them held captive spiritually. But it's even better than that. As you read through that and you picture in your mind what we just read, and picture in your mind what we just saw with that river flowing, what happened after that? Look at where the river, the waters that flowed from the temple, look at how far, look at where those waters, where did they finish their journey? The Dead Sea. So we are the living waters. Through us, the living waters of Jesus Christ, I want to make sure that I am getting deeper and deeper. I am submerging and immersing myself in Jesus Christ and in his waters. And as I do that, the more he's going to measure out his victories through us. So the water's getting deeper and deeper. And the rivers of living waters through you and I are supposed to go south along that Kidron Valley, along all that idolatrous and spiritual rubbish, and it goes to the Dead Sea. And it says, at the Dead Sea, it brings healing and life to that which had previously only had death. This is who we are supposed to be and what we're supposed to be accomplishing on a daily basis. And it's what we can accomplish on a daily basis. Now think about this. Last week, we saw how slowly, when the Spirit of God departed from the temple, remember how slowly, how reluctantly the Spirit of God was to depart from the temple, and then depart from the altar, then departed from the doors of the temple, the threshold, and then slowly departed. It was another chapter until finally it came to the eastern gate, and then another whole chapter until it slowly crossed the Kidron Valley, went to the Mount of Olives, and stood there at the Mount of Olives until it just departed from Israel. Slow departure. But now, with this river of living waters coming through us, now we see the Holy Spirit, and look how fast the Holy Spirit is flowing and surging through us, getting deeper and deeper and surging so that the prophet just has to swim through. He can't even cross the other side. You see the difference between the slowness of God's departure. But now that Jesus Christ has reversed the spiritual direction and we have the Holy Spirit flowing through us, look at the speed with which and the power with which the Holy Spirit moves and flows through us. So today, in this church age, the waters, the living waters, flow from us. They flow east and they flow south, but they're not flowing back to the Mount of Olives. But the Mount of Olives still had a vital role to play. And we see that in Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 13, as we look at Jesus, the ascension of Jesus, and what took place after Jesus ascended to heaven. Everybody follow me so far? Really? Okay, good. All right. Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 13. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he, Jesus, was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, and also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into the heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, the Mount of Olives, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they entered, they went up into the upper room, where they were staying, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. Jesus had said, I want you to remember those names, because put your place in those names. We saw all those names. Put your place. Put your name in there with them. Because we are the ones that, what happened to those men? They went to the upper room and they waited. Jesus said, if he departed, then the Holy Spirit would come. Jesus departed. He ascended into heaven from the Mount of Olives. And then we see that his disciples returned to Jerusalem. Specifically, they went back to the upper room on Mount Zion. And from there, the power, the Holy Spirit was poured out upon men with power. And those men and those women, they turned the world upside down according to the Word of God. I want to close with this, because I want you to get a picture of this. Because it's imperative to me that the disciples returned to the upper room on Mount Zion. Don, if you'll bring up that map, this is the map we saw last week. And I just want us to see, again, where we're at, because some of these things are significant. So this is the Mount of Olives. This is Jerusalem. This is the wall. So this right here is Jerusalem. Jerusalem is representing the world itself, the world that we live in, represents the world today. It is the center of the world. It's the heart of the world. the world today. So this is Jerusalem. Oh, wrong one. So this is Jerusalem. Now there's two main hills that are a part of Jerusalem. This hill right here is Mount Moriah. And Mount Moriah is where the temple is. Here's the temple facing east towards the Mount of Olives. The second main hill is here. This is Mount Zion. So Mount Moriah is where the temple is. Mount Zion, this is where the upper room was. And then, of course, we do have the Mount of Olives over here. Now, the highest place in this entire area is right here, the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives is 300 feet above where the temple stood on Mount Moriah. Very appropriate to me that the place where Jesus ascended and the place where Jesus will return again is the highest place in the area, as it should be. Now, let's come back over to here. The lowest point in this area is, as far as the mountains, is right here. The lowest mountain is right there. It's Mount Moriah. So where the temple of God was, that's the lowest point of all three of these points. Mount Moriah with the temple, Mount Moriah represents the old covenant and the law. So it's appropriate that that is at the lower place. But I want you to see this. Here, this is Mount Moriah. I'm sorry, this is Mount Zion. Mount Zion is where the upper room experience took place. Mount Zion is higher than this. So what difference does that possibly make? What can that possibly matter to us? Well, think about this. As his temple of the Holy Spirit, you are his highest point in this world. You are, as his temple, the highest point in this world. The world represented by Jerusalem. You are the highest point. The highest point is represented by Mount Zion, where the Holy Spirit was poured out, where the Holy Spirit made us the temples. You are here at the highest place in Jerusalem, which is the world. You truly are a city on a hill that cannot be hid, whose light cannot be hid. The world, which is the rest of Jerusalem, representing the world is supposed to be looking at us and seeing the light of Jesus through us. It's supposed to be seeing the power of the Holy Spirit working and demonstrating through us. We are the city on a hill. Let the world see Jesus Christ and his power moving through you, so the world will be drawn up to Jesus Christ, up to you and I, the cities on a hill. So we began this morning with a spoken prophecy, a prophecy that was spoken against the mountains of Israel, a spoken word to the mountains. Today, we have the authority of Jesus Christ. We are called to speak to the mountains. We speak to every mountain in our life that is opposed to or contrary to the word of God. We speak to those mountains, and we cause those mountains to be moved. This whole thing began with words spoken to the mountains, and from all of this, seeing our place being represented as a city on a hill on Mount Zion with the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit, we are to speak and let the world see you and I speaking to those mountains and those mountains being cast into the sea. Mark 11:23, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." Now, I thought it was really appropriate that with all of that today, that we would end with communion. Because think about this. You and I, we are that city on a hill represented by Mount Zion, the place where the Holy Spirit was poured out with power, that highest point in the world, in Jerusalem. Mount Zion in the upper room. But the upper room is also, it's the same upper room where the disciples had that Last Supper with Jesus Christ. So here's what I want us to do. I'm going to have us all come up, get the elements, take your seats, and while you're waiting, be thinking about, because during communion, we're thinking about, this is what Jesus told us to do, this in remembrance of him, to remember what he did. His blood shed for us that we could have a restored relationship with the Father. And because we have that restored relationship with the Father and his body was broken for us, His body is the bread. Jesus is the bread. Jesus is the word. We, as we partake in that bread, we are taking and we are eating all of his promises so we can be that city on a hill, that we can operate in his power and authority, that that river of living waters flows through us. So as you're sitting there thinking about that, be thankful, Jesus, for his sacrifice, but also be thinking about, let him speak to you specifically about that mountain that you are, that city on a hill, and that river of living waters that is flowing from the temple of you. Amen.